We got everybody? Yeah.
I'm not staying that long.
No, I'm not staying that long. I'm on the Friday in Dallas. I'm on the
It's now 6 p.m. and we'll call to order our Capital Improvements Advisory Committee meeting for February 17th, 2025. First on the agenda is approval of our minutes. Item number 25-6429, approval of the December 2nd, 2024 Capital Improvements Advisory Committee meeting minutes. We'll give you an opportunity to review those and then we'll call for a motion.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Godden.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Moses. Please cast your votes. Agenda item carries 7-0. Next on the agenda, citizen comments. Citizens wishing to address the commission on non-public hearing agenda items and items not on the agenda may do so at this time. Once the business portion of the meeting begins, only comments related to public hearings will be heard. All comments are limited to 5 minutes. In order to be recognized during the citizens' comments or during a public hearing, applicants included, please complete an appearance card located at the entry to the chambers and present it to the planning secretary. Ms. Carissa, do we have any cards? We have no cards for citizen comments. We'll move to agenda item number four, 25-6430. Review and approval of the semiannual reports for the period between July the 1st, 2024, December the 31st, 2024 on the implementation of the capital improvements plan for water, wastewater, and roadway impact fees and the collection of such fees. Mr. Kaufman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here tonight, Trace Hilton, the Assistant Director of Engineering Services. We're both going to present this evening. We'll take turns. She's going to go through the fees. I will walk through the capital projects and the progress on the capital plan, and then we'll both be here to answer questions and dig down into some of the details with the permits that we've done in the past. So right now, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Trace for the water and wastewater impact fee report.
Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Trace Hilton, Assistant Director of Engineering Services, and I'm here to present you the impact fees. These are the impact fees that went into effect in September. I'm sure y'all are aware of that exercise. I'm going to go on to the next slide. Here are the water and wastewater impact fee collections. They're divided into the first half of 2024 and the second half of 2024. You'll see that they're down a little bit, but the first half of 24 was actually very high, if you recall the conversation from that last presentation. And I'm going to have Raymond cover the capital improvements portion.
So these are the projects that we have in current progress. Most of our utility projects are the same. The new project we have kicked off right now in utilities is not in the 10-year plan. But these are the ones we've been through before, the 16-inch water line across Walnut Creek, and then a 16-inch along 917. It's in the southwest part of town around M3 Ranch, around, that's a bad color, around this area. We'll provide service to that area. And then the 16-inch water along 360 and those last projects are several projects around the Staybolt development, and they include projects down at Lone Star and 360. And then the last one is a treatment plant expansion project that the Water Utilities Department has happening. And then as far as the sewer projects, we have the West Side Sewer, which is a combination of the number 5 and 9 project, and then the long project you see, number 6 down here in the southwest part of town. That is out that a portion of that was what we had spoken before about trying to bring service to the Megatel development. And then the last one there that we have in construction is the sewer line along Britain, and that is back to the same area of the Stay-Bolt project that we're in that same area and getting sewer service to the data center as well as a that entire area. So with that, I'll ask if there's any questions about any of the particular projects. And if not, I will move on and we'll
Mr. Kaufman, no question, no question about the projects, but I did want to ask if you have a forecast or a projection as to what you'll see in the first half of this year for wastewater fees. You said the first half last year was running a little high. I think Ms. Trace said that.
Yeah, we'll move on to the roadway and then we'll come back to all of the fees and do the summary. What do you have? Oh, clear all, doing your race, sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that. We'll recap all of the fees at the very end. And that's where you'll see the graphs and we can talk a little bit about projections, if you will. So these are the roadway impact fees that we've collected. They're divided into the different service areas and at the bottom you'll see the total amounts. Now, conversely from what we saw from the utility or water and sewer impact fees, these are actually higher in the second half of 2024 for the roadway impact fee portions. And should I get into that right now or you want to wait?
No, we'll touch on
that. Okay, yeah, we'll follow up and have some explanations for the numbers here shortly. Okay, and here's our projects.
So we mentioned last time, these are a couple of projects that I went ahead and put on here. They are on the 10-year capital plan of this newest plan, and we have these new projects funded for 2025. We have not, they're just in the early stages of getting contracted for design, but Jessica Drive out in the west portion of town, we're going to do the very northern portion around Broad, that is done with the Silver Oak development, and Oaks Preserve will do another piece. What we're going to do is take a two-lane asphalt section and complete it, not quite down to Klein Tools Boulevard, but down to Hanks Street, which is right there where the mark is. Council voted to put that in for a 2025 project, so we'll begin design on that soon. And then the other project to the right there is Dick Price Road. It's a short section, but it will connect Dick Price to Main Street and make that direct connection. And so that will help with the alignment of Gertie Barrett and then take traffic that has to make that maneuver down to Turner Warnell. That will let that have a direct connection. And then the other projects that we've had in design are our Main Street connector, West Broad Street, the roundabout. We're working on getting the 60% design reviewed, moving to the 90% and right-of-way documents and acquisition. The Cardinal Road turn lane up at 1187, we're doing right-of-way acquisition for that project right now. The East Broad Street, the fire station to 360. We're moving towards 60% plans for that project and the landscaping portion of that. And then last, just like I talked about with utilities, is Lone Star Road. That's this section down here through Stay-Bolt. You have Lone Star, and then we have a section of Heritage that's in design right now as well to serve the Stay-Bolt development and the stadium. And then projects that we have essentially finished Holland Road and Daymire Road. We're wrapping up the ends of that. And Gertie Barrett Road, we've been working on having franchise, specifically AT&T, get relocated to start that project back. They have been in the way for several months now, so hopefully they're on the tail end of getting that rectified. So with that, I think we can get into more of the explanation for the fees. So I'll let Trace touch on the permits and some of the reasoning, but we'll kind of both take this and answer your questions.
Yeah. So this is a summary of residential permits. They drive the utility impact fees more than they do the roadway impact fees. And then the commercial is the opposite, where we will get more roadway impact fees than we do the utility. So the spike that you see in 2024, that first or that high column there at the end, I would explain that from the reserve townhome project. We issue permits as you go and build. They're not issued all at once, but for the reserve townhomes, we issued all of the permits during that time. And so that I think that explains the spike, and it might be leveled out if a part of that went into this portion that we see that we're going through now. And did you want to speak more about that?
No, I think this, we've talked about this several times, and I was kind of explaining it to Trace as we've talked about when she's saying the residential drives the utility. We've just talked about how the impact fees for utility on a single family are higher than the roadway fee, but on many commercial projects, it's quite the opposite. So it sort of depends on that. And we were noticing that, yes, there's been a big drop in residential, but it, as she pointed out, because Trace does the development and has for the last year, she pointed out that very specifically, that she was aware that reserve townhomes permitted all of them. So she's right. If that first half of 24 came down and the second half went up, it would probably be more like we've seen in the past, just the linear. But that drop right there that you see will speak a little bit to what we'll see. And we've looked at this before, but usually these move in tandem, but we have another period where we've seen the utility drop and the roadway actually go up. And you can see periods of that in the past. It's just they're not that often or they're not that varied. So what we were really concluding talking about this, it's really the anomaly is the gap you see in the previous 6 months where the utility was so high, because what I think is the residential number of permits was so high, it was above 600 and something, and then the commercial in that period just happened to be very low. So in this particular case, I believe that we have, you know, a basic average number coming back down in the residential, but we do have a high commercial. So usually I've had just some basic information, but this time we kind of charted this out a little bit. So what you see here, which is what kind of reiterates what we were saying, the residential permits, you can see how much is attributed to the water and sewer fees, but yet in the non-residential, it's definitely much less than that. But then the roadway fees are significantly less than the utility, and you can tell in the non-residential they're more. And I know it's kind of hard to look across there, but if you add all of these up, all the roadway and water and sewer, they start to equal out. And so the commercial being so significant in areas B and D, I usually pull this information from the building department and have it, but we were able to get it in a nice format, so I chose to put it up here. And Trace can touch on a couple of these high-dollar projects, which kind of explain those higher numbers in these zones.
Yeah, so these are only the non-residential and roadway impact fees. The highest fee collection on a single commercial permit was for the data center. You can see that in the service area D, which is that last section, the 3801 Britton Road, with over $300,000 collected with that one permit. The second highest would be under the second category, service area B, which is the Texas Trust bank on Broad Street and 360. And so you can kind of see the varied amounts that are paid with the different categories of buildings, but it definitely speaks to the difference in the roadway impact fee collection for non-residential permits.
Yeah, so usually we'll go back to this and we can answer any questions, but we really believe that if that was more of an average number for the utilities, that would have probably been something more, you know, like that, as opposed to what we did. So that's kind of how we're explaining that afterward. I wasn't sure of that at the time, but now that we see in hindsight and look back at the permits, that's what it appears to be. So at this time, we'll be happy to answer any questions about the collections, the permits, or the projects in general.
Commissioners, you have questions?
Yeah, I've got, Raymond, the roadway impact fees, the ones that are in the report here, are those the ones that were revised?
Yes.
I remember we went through that exercise towards the end of the year where there was some concerns about where they had gone to, and then development concerns that they needed to be looked at again. So these are the ones that council?
Yes, I apologize. It's in the report, but I didn't copy it out into the slides here. But yes, the schedule that you see, and I should have touched on that, the schedule you see in your report is the schedule specifically for 2025. So typically that's been the latest adopted schedule for the next 5 years, but they graduate 25, 26, 27. So in this particular report, we have in there from 2025, but as long as those are valid, we'll put those in there. But you're correct, the next time we start using the 2026 fees, that schedule will change and we'll have to now update that annually.
So that was the final decision to have the rates escalate up? Okay.
Yeah, that it had to all be determined now and passed, but those schedules, so there's three different schedules, 25, 26, 27, for the next 3 years, and it was determined at that time we would do the study again and, you know, do the calculations again and redetermine all of the fees for all of the areas.
Okay. Now, I appreciate that information.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm going to be a little selfish and ask about Calendar Road from 287 up to Debbie. I don't know if you guys have been out there lately, but that road is starting to fall apart a little bit.
Okay.
Looks like there's some subgrade deterioration, but
condition.
Yeah, the condition is worsening out there.
Okay.
I know it's not, you know, a priority, but if you guys will just take a look at it and see if maybe there's a maintenance job that can be done to improve it.
Right. Now, anything like that, we're always we take the process is if it's you know, at least someone do an assessment, like you just said, whether it needs to be maintenance or it needs to be capital. It's always important to do the maintenance, which keeps us away from the capital. we're happy to do capital when we need to add capacity, but, you know, just doing it because we let the condition deteriorate, we don't want to do that. So anything anyone has about maintenance, we're always happy to, you know, turn in those work orders and let the the street department go take a look at that to try to keep it in, you know, better shape than not.
No, I appreciate that. And I think there's been some movement on the Dolce Vita development. So I know when we went through that one, there's some street improvements as part of that project. So maybe it's a combination of the two.
Yes, what we'll do, we assessed it at the time, and that wasn't on the list to move forward. We do have that, you know, there we're going to do the construction of Summer Trail.
Yeah.
That will be part of that. So, yes, we would definitely be taking a look at that, because with that project alone, that, as far as I know, that's still the plan, to have that gated over the creek there. At least
Merriweather?
Yes, at least to start with.
Okay.
And so as those homes build out, until you get to that 70% and there's no other, you know, good connections except to Main Street, there will definitely be an increase in traffic there. So it would be a good time to get ahead of any maintenance activity, in my opinion.
Perfect. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
Just as a follow-up to the Calendar Road piece, when you speak maintenance, are we, the city still talking about asphalt, or will it be concrete, or what?
Yes, new projects, the new standard is asphalt with curb and gutter. But I mean, a road like Calendar that's existing asphalt, we would certainly, if we were to reconstruct it, it would, unless we change, would certainly be asphalt. Mm-hmm. So maintenance, we just maintain what's there. But if it's a capital reconstruct project, what we have done in certain cases, we do look at the surrounding areas, and if it's certainly surrounded by concrete streets, you know, and we're not going to make something odd by just sticking a piece of asphalt in where it doesn't belong. But in general, yes, asphalt is the standard for a reconstruct.
Okay. Commissioner Thompson, any questions?
No.
Commissioner Walker? Mr. Bennett? Mr. Moses, Commissioner Godden. I have one follow-up question on the projects that you had listed. Mm-hmm. Are those projects scheduled for 2026, the ones that are currently in design? The ones that are currently, the road projects that are currently in design. Do you have a...
Yes, they all have different timelines on them. And Trace and I talked about this before. I think it was mentioned... we can't nail it down, but we will try to basically have some very general schedule with this for these that are on the 10-year plan. But all of these in design, they're at different stages. But at least, except for the last one, that's part of Stay-Bolt. But pretty much all of those, we intend on probably making it somewhere finishing design this year, whether that be the summer or the fall. And West Broad Street, we're almost at 90%. So I think we talked about that before. We'd hope that that's earlier. But some of these, they're all different size projects, but the bigger ones have been in design for quite a while. So yeah. I think I look at all of them, and we're really probably planning on trying to move through right-of-way acquisition in the 60 to 90% earlier this year. So hopefully by the end of this year, almost all of those will start to getting close to bid and construction.
Okay. And I know there's one that we haven't talked about quite a bit, but I think the city was working on trying to procure some dollars and do something. And that is Seton Road down from Lake Ridge High School. You have an update on that?
Yes. We prepped it to apply to the Transportation Alternatives Program. What we just figured out is that when the Transportation Alternatives, that it funds the pedestrian improvements of that project. So out of the project is around $23 million total was the cost estimate by the time it was finished. The pedestrian improvements calculated out to be around $7 million. And so even with that, we have to fund a percentage of that. So we would basically be getting $6 million. And the problem with that is when we submit for a grant like that, you have to show the show on the grant application that you're committed to funding the remainder of that. And right now, council has said that it wouldn't, or at least that's the thought, was that it would probably need to come somewhere below $15 million for us to get it on that five-year plan with the projects that are scheduled now. So what we're in the process of doing is looking at other grants that we could try to combine with that. Trying to time grants like that are difficult on these high-dollar projects. So trying to find a grant, I think the next step would be, at least in the process, to talk to COG about different funding mechanisms, because when you have such a roadway project, even though it has these pedestrian improvements, we want to do the bridge at the same time.
Right.
But that's an expensive bridge across the core lake, and I think as we get into trying to time the funding, I mean, Vice Chairman Axon may know a little bit some of the more details than I do, but that's what I'm finding out, that we're basically going to, if we apply for a grant, if we have to put on there that even if we get it, we still have to go look for other funds, I'm not sure that they don't kind of kick that out in the first stage. But we're going through the process to see what money is available.
Okay. You have any comments on that?
That's like what Raymond said. Show me and I'll show you mine.
So the city has to come up with their part.
They would need to show proof
that they're going to go to have the funds.
And yeah, there would be some, I don't know if they have to show like all of it, but there would have to be some financial proof that they'll follow through on their commitment. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I guess I need to write my local city council person, because that is one, okay, could be deemed as the most dangerous stretch of road for those students in Mansfield. Extremely dangerous.
Understood.
And I would just hate for something to go wrong and then we start reacting after that. So,
well, even though we have that five-year plan, we adopt 1 year at a time, and it's reassessed every year. And so we go through that planning process during the budget year. So the everything beyond 2025, the projects I just showed you right now, that's exactly what it is. It's a plan. And so every year we actually adopt. It's not a bond program where we're setting out all of our projects for 3 years or 5 years, and that's what we're doing. We still get the flexibility to reassess these every year. So okay, it's always in a little fluctuation. So that's always considered at least part of the process.
All right.
To your point, Chairman, if it is a safety mm-hmm. issue, I would think that, Raymond, y'all would have a lot more options for grant funding or other funding sources, maybe from COG, to get some money to address
that. That's the real question, is trying to parse out the pedestrian safety versus the roadway. And that's what I was speaking to, the pedestrian improvements, that $7 million, we do believe there's different ways to get that funded. And I think are you speaking about vehicle safety or primarily pedestrian safety?
Pedestrians. I'm speaking of the kids having to cross that bridge to get to school.
Right. And yeah. And that's where they're not, I mean, very technically, no one's going to look and say the road isn't safe enough for pedestrians. Of course it's not. It's a roadway. So that's the answer. So although that might be, that's why that was looked at as an alternative to just do a completely separate pedestrian bridge. It's just to do that, so much money is going to be spent on that. If we don't do the bridge at all, then we're going to look back and think we should have put it all together. Yeah. But now that we've put it all together, now we can't find the funding for the whole thing. So it's kind of one way's too big and one way's too small. I describe it as a chicken or egg thing. You know, it's like if we want to get one pot of funding, and we think there are two, but like I said, you have to commit to one or the other. It would be really, like you said, helpful if there was some methodology or had some help either through counties or COG or whatever, that it was understood, like you said, given where it is, it's an issue for, you know, Grand Prairie and mm-hmm. us. And that's what would be needed, as a way to kind of bring these all together and have maybe different funding come together. And that's just where it's hard for us just applying for a single grant to you know, to bring that all together. But we have our grant coordinator looking at all of that.
Well, we know the two of you all are two extremely intelligent people, and you'll work with the group to come up with a way. I want to applaud you guys, too. I think that when it comes to streets and roads, that's one area that I would not want to have to deal with in this community. So we really appreciate what you guys are doing. Thanks for your hard work on this. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anything further from anyone?
I think the biggest challenge, what Rain was saying, is the core.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have to do that roundabout with them or go through that rodeo with them twice. You want to go through it one time for both projects.
So try to get it all at once.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, we will call for a motion to accept the report.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Vice Chairman Axon.
I have a second.
Second by Commissioner Godden. If you would, please cast your votes. All right, that motion carries 7-0. Motion for adjourn for our capital improvement meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Commissioner Bennett.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Walker. Please cast your votes. Carries 7-0. We are adjourned at 6:31 p.m.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. We will now call to order at 6:32 p.m. A planning and zoning meeting for Monday, February 17, 2025. First on the agenda is our invocation. Will be led tonight by Vice Chairman Axon. If you would, please stand.
Incredibly blessed to live in a great place with people who are dedicated to serve the city. We just pray that you continue to guide us as individuals and as a body here in our planning and zoning work.
Yes.
To make the right decisions for the growth and development of our city. We pray for all our emergency responders and those that are treating the roads.
Yes.
This week to keep us safe from the cold, brutal cold weather that's on our way and any frozen precipitation. Just keep us safe, Lord, in these times, and give us patience.
Yes.
Give us patience with those that we disagree with, those that we agree with, and help us come together.
Yes.
As a city, and do what's best for the future of our city.
Yes.
It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Our first agenda item is approval of our minutes. Please take a look at our minutes from our January 21st, 2025 meeting. Give you an opportunity to review those, and we will call for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the aforementioned minutes.
We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Moses.
A second.
Second by Commissioner Godden. Please cast your votes. Agenda item carries 7-0. Next on the agenda is our approval of the minutes from our February 6th, 2025 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Please review those and we will call for a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve by Commissioner Bennett.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Walker. Please cast your votes. That agenda item carries 6-0 with one abstention. Now move to agenda item number 6, citizen comments. Citizens wishing to address the commission on non-public hearing agenda items and items not on the agenda may do so at this time. Once the business portion of the meeting begins, only comments related to public hearings will be heard. All comments are limited to 5 minutes. In order to be recognized during the citizen comments or during a public hearing, applicants included, please complete a blue appearance card located at the entry of the chambers and present it to the planning secretary. Ms. Calista, do we have any cards? We have no cards for citizen comments tonight, so we'll move to our consent agenda, 25-6425, final plat of lots 1 through 6, 8 through 13, 7X, 14X, and lot 15X, block 1. Mymeria Estates on approximately 3.13 acres and addressed at 880 Turner Way, Texas Heritage Surveying, Engineer Surveyor, SPAPS owner. Item number 24-051. Do we have a motion on the consent agenda, or would someone like to remove it from the consent agenda?
Commissioners, I'll make a quick note. Items that are placed on the consent agenda are items that don't necessarily require one, a public hearing or a presentation on the item itself. Because that item does meet all of the requirements of our subdivision control ordinance. If there were more cases on the agenda, on the consent agenda specifically, you would be able to vote on all of these at one time. I just wanted to put that out there just so that everybody understood that that's the reason why we haven't given any sort of presentation on this one.
So if no one wants to move this item from the consent agenda, can we get a motion on it?
I call a motion to approve item 25-6425 on the consent agenda.
We have a motion to approve by Vice Chairman Axon.
Second.
We have a second by Commissioner Bennett. Please cast your votes. That item carries 7-0. Next on our agenda is agenda item number 8, summary of City Council actions.
I believe we only had one case, so we did have a specific use permit. That was case 24-001 for the Murphy Oil gas station. This, of course, was in the Walmart parking lot on Walnut Creek, just west of 287. This SUP called for the replacement of everything that you see on the site. I think we did have a discussion when this case came to the commission that one of the reasons why this had to get an SUP is because the existing structure was built about 25 years ago prior to our SUP ordinance being passed in 2015. So this did require that SUP to come in. I think council looked at this one favorably and it was approved.
Great, thank you, sir. Any questions regarding that council item? If there are none, we'll move to agenda item number 9, commission announcements. Commissioner Thompson.
I actually have none tonight except for stay warm.
That's a good one. Commissioner Walker?
No, sir.
Vice Chairman Axon?
None tonight.
Commissioner Bennett?
None.
Commissioner Godden?
I have none.
Commissioner Moses?
I have none.
Okay, just let me make one comment, and I do want to issue an apology for the fact that I made an assumption that everyone knew how the consent agenda works. So I do apologize for that, and thank you, Mr. Rodriguez, for ensuring that everyone understood that process. Next time, I'll make sure I go through it. And I would echo your comments, Commissioner Thompson. Please stay warm. Please stay safe. Go slow on Wednesday if we got ice. Let's make sure we all make it back to the next meeting. We have any staff announcements?
There are a few staff announcements. I did want to state that our next meeting is going to be on Monday, March 10th. It's not on this list. I do want to point out that that's the second Monday of the month as opposed to the first or third Monday of the month. Council did make a change to their calendar. That does mean that we have a scheduled meeting on Monday, March 10th and a scheduled meeting on Monday, March 17th. I I, like all of y'all, understand that that is spring break week. Mm-hmm. We are working to make sure that we can time our agenda so that our agenda is taken care of on March 10th. If we do need a meeting, we will have one on the 17th. Again, we're doing everything we can to cancel that one for y'all. With that stated, I don't know if there are any comments on that.
I do have a comment. I just wanted to ask now, just to get a read, does anyone anticipate that they will not be here if we do have a meeting on the 17th? Commissioner Thompson? I will be out of town as well. Anyone else? Everyone else will be. So five can do it.
It could be a chance for one of y'all to sit in the chair position. No, we are working on that, so we'll make sure we look at that correctly. There are some commissioners that did respond with interest on going to Focus North Texas, which does occur this Friday, February 21st. That is being held in Dallas. If there's anybody else who had a Friday who is that's opened up this Friday and you're interested, I think we have until the end of the day tomorrow to schedule you for that training. I believe currently going is Commissioner Godden, Commissioner Axon. I'll be there as well. That leads me to my next announcement, and that is that also the new Executive Director of Planning and Development Services will be there. His name is Clayton Comstock. Clayton Comstock comes from the city of North Richland Hills. He's very highly respected in the planning field itself within the Midwest section of the Texas APA, which is the American Planning Association. He serves as chair or as president. Outside of that, I believe many of y'all attended a training that he hosted at the city of North Richland Hills for elected and appointed officials last year. So Clayton does start with us tomorrow, and I believe his first meeting with us will be on the March 10th one. That's all I have.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Rodriguez? Okay, great. We're up to agenda item number 11, adjournment. We have a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn by the motion guy, Mr. Godden. We have a second. Second by Commissioner Moses. Please cast your votes. That carries 7-0. We are adjourned at 6:42 p.m. Thank you all so much.